I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Back now with Connections and Gloucester Times journalist Taylor Ann Bradford. And Taylor Ann, good morning. Welcome back to MSO.
Good morning. How's it going, Rick?
Going pretty well. You know, I kind of like the heat and humidity. I like the extremes. I like, single digits plus or minus in the winter. And I love, when the temperatures are in the 90s with humidity. But I guess I'm rare in that. How are you making out?
I'm all right. I apologize for kind of a weird voice today. I am getting over a cold. That's not COVID, but I realize that it makes reporting and talking over the airwaves a little bit different. So I'm happy and healthy. I just sound a little funny.
We should have these lights that light up when we have a cold or an allergy, and one light says cold, the other one says allergy, and the other one says I do not have COVID. So
yeah.
Well, people are gonna, it's gonna be on our minds for a long time. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You've alerted us to something that's going on here. You've been covering some really contentious stories coming out of city government in Gloucester. So why don't you bring us up to date on what you just recently have found out?
Yeah, so breaking news as of today, Thursday, I was notified that Karen Carroll, the city's public health director, sent a letter on June 30th to the Board of Health members that she has resigned from her position as the public health director for the city of Gloucester. In the letter that I had acquired, she notes that for the past 5 years, I have been honored to work as a public health director for the city of Gloucester, and in particular with the amazing team of professionals at the health department. She then also notes that she's decided to move on and pursue other options in public health, and she will be leaving her position as of July 23rd, 2021. It's a very short letter, not much to as of why she left, and I'm curious to know what that a new role in public health she's seeking outside of the city. But as of today, this has been made known to us, and we'll see as this story continues to unfold, as I know they have a Board of Health meeting tonight, so I'm sure that is to be discussed there as well.
Well, this story, saga, whatever you want to call it, has been going on now for a while, and it has involved several different parties, and it seems to be sort of climbing a ladder, or maybe like the proverbial unpeeling of the onion. You know, as you learn something, then you learn something else, and then someone else chimes in. So this story, again, involving so many people in Gloucester, it continues, and there doesn't seem to be any resolution of it at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's spot on, Rick. Even though we don't know why she left, the past year and a half has not been the most ideal. I mean, first you have COVID where she and the mayor and everyone else, we're just trying to make sense of something that no one had experienced before. And she received praises for her work and just how hard she and her team kind of combated COVID-19. But in the most recent months, we've been finding out a little bit more of what went down in the in-between, between her and the mayor, and kind of other things with that. There had been, as you remember, we've chatted before about how at past Board of Health meetings, she raised concerns about how the mayor, Safathia Romayo-Taken, was injecting herself into the health department's approach in response to COVID-19, asking her to stop interfering with their actions in certain ways. And she listed quite a few summaries of those. But most recently, we had acquired through a public records request the actual details as to that summary, noting the things that in particular she was concerned about how the mayor was acting. And it was listed in an email sent by her attorney, Meredith Fine, to Mayor's lawyer, Lenny Keston, and the city's general counsel, Chip Payson. And in that email or letter, it notes, that Carol and her attorney believe that the mayor poses a risk to public health and may have violated conflict of interest law by interfering with the health department's response to COVID-19 to the pandemic. And this is an April 22nd letter, so this is quite a time ago. And we're just getting the details and the contents of the letter now. And I know that a lot of readers might be wondering, you know, why bring this back up? And I think it's just important to note that, like, these details are revealing something that the story was not able to be fully told earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to clarify all this different stuff that's been going on, of just, you know, how she said that the mayor had, you know, conducted outside contact tracing, gotten vaccines for herself that had a schedule, gotten vaccines for others, created a toxic work environment. The list goes on, and you can read all the details in our articles or in the letters themselves, because the mayor did post them to Facebook once the records request went public. But I, you know, when I talked to Meredith Fun in a follow-up interview, my question was, you know, yes, these documents were going back and forth in April. And so the big question is, you know, what has changed? The mayor's attorney did send an email saying, you know, even though the mayor does not agree with the accusations that have been made, you know, she will comply in not interfering with the health department's COVID-19 response. And so, right, if that was stated in April, you know, where are we now? Has there been any change? Has there been any remorse in this situation? And when I asked Fine that, she said, you know, the mayor has not kept her word on some of those promises in which she had listed, or her attorney had listed, in the email to Fine, as she believes that there was some retaliation during the city's budget process towards her staff members, and the mayor has continued to denigrate the health department in public. And so we're now looking at, you know, what are the next steps and what are the specifics to that. And I realize it's a lot of nitty-gritty, but in our reporting is a reflection of what's going on in the city. So just trying to continue to follow that story. It's very detailed. It's very contentious, but it's, you know, a one that I think has a big impact on the cities and the residents here in the city, because these people who are all in managerial positions are the ones who are, you know, calling the shots and making things move or not move. So we'll see kind of what happens going forward.
And I'll have links to your stories on this post also. A couple of things, Taylor. And first of all, you know, I did read the story about Karen Carroll. The headline said that the health head, mayor endangers well-being of residents. Now, that's quite an accusation. And then the second part of this that I'd like you maybe to straighten out for me a little bit is that some of the people who have complained want copies of an investigation, because apparently the mayor mentioned, as you just said, some of the things that, not breaking the law, but maybe that she was doing incorrectly and breaking some rules, and she mentioned she wouldn't be doing that. But the people who have, you know, complained or blew the whistle or whatever you want to call it, they haven't gotten copies of the investigation. So those two things, it sounds like it's a very serious accusation, I think, coming out of the health department. And then what's the story with people trying to get more information who are involved in this directly?
That's a great question. So I think the article that you're alluding to is, right, it's titled Complainants Seek Copies of Investigation into Mayor. And that is another narrative, but I think one that, you know, kind of is in line and in parallel with Karen Carroll's case. As you know, Karen did file a formal HR complaint against the mayor back in 2018. So, you know, she is, her narrative is a part of this as well. But the story that you're alluding to is and one that we've talked about in the past is, if you remember, we have TJ Shimotaro, Jill Cahill, and Donna Lee all filed complaints to HR against the mayor for hostile work environment, you know, for various reasons. And they requested, you know, a part of filing complaints to HR is that an investigation takes place. And Regina Ryan, an outside attorney, did an investigation into the complaint filed against the mayor, and those were finalized. And so we were notified that this was finalized by a Facebook post, yet again, by the mayor, that noted the kind of mayor's response to the findings and recommendations made by Ryan, with an additional summary made by Tom Mullins, who is the city's outside attorney who comes in, and he had kind of summarized the different things, stating that, you know, There is no evidence that she violated any law, but it is noted that the review did find that evidence did that she did violate the city's standards for professional communication in the workplace by using profane languages, and also found that she violated city personnel confidentiality rules by discussing a complaint during a meeting with the complaining parties present, and also by discussing job performances with other employees. And so all of those things that were findings, again, they're not legal violations, but they are breaking a various with inner city things that were going on. Mm-hmm. And so as they look at that, and as they see the summary by Tom Mullins of the findings and recommendations made by Regina Ryan, the complainants, all three of the people who filed the complaints, are noting that they never got the full report after it was finished. They never saw any of the things. Two of them had met with Tom Mullins to discuss more of what was going on and his summary of the findings and recommendations, but they never got to see any of the file report, but the mayor did. And so there's kind of this contention between all of them right now, saying that they want to see the full report and they want to see discuss the investigation with that person that did the investigation to better understand what's going on, because some of them simply found out about the findings and recommendations of Regina Ryan, you know, through the mayor's Facebook post, which if they're directly involved with the situation going on, they prefer to learn about that in-house rather than on social media.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, it continues. And this is a question I know that you don't know the answer to, but maybe I can generalize it and say in terms of legal costs, do the individuals pay for it out of their own pockets? Is there an insurance thing? Does the city have to pay for this? Do you know how that works?
That is another great question. And one that I think we've been asked a lot and that we're trying to figure out our styles. I think the only example that we can have is that as the city was trying to finalize their budget for this next fiscal year, they did have a special meeting in which the health department came to discuss their particular budget, because, you know, in the dispute between Karen Carroll and the mayor, they both had lawyers, and the mayor's lawyer was paid for by the city's outside insurer and the city's insurer, but Karen Carroll's was not, even though they were part of the same discussion.
Wow.
Within an inner city discussion dilemma, if you will. And so because there's no legal action taken, there was no lawsuit, from what we best can understand from watching the meeting, the city insurer would not cover Karen Carroll's legal fees because there was no lawsuit that accrued there. And there's, again, I'm speaking a lot of general terms to this narrative. That story can also be found on our website. We did cover that as well.
Yep.
But it is, that's just one example. And again, I don't really quite know about these other two. I know Jill Cahill does not have an attorney, but, and I believe Donnelly does, and obviously, TJ does as well, as he has filed a lawsuit against the mayor and others for another conversation that is wrapped in his complaint for toxic work environment. So there's a lot going on, and I understand too that it is election season, so a lot of this is kind of there's a lot of tension and a lot of kind of heat going around, because we're also acknowledging that everyone is also trying to seek either re-election or election, and trying to do the best for the city as they look to support the city of Gloucester.
Whew, okay, all right. Let's change gears here a little bit to a really heartwarming and uplifting story that you did a few days ago about a woman who contracted cancer, and it looked very dire at one point. And she's doing fine now and sort of leading the charge.
Yeah, so, yeah, totally shifting gears to a really happy story about a woman who I just want to say was really empowering to hear her story and just how she walks about life. And for Samantha Bouchard, who has been participating in the North Shore Cancer Walk since it began 31 years ago, her family has. You know, it was always a family event, But little did she know that, you know, this walk that she did just as a fun family event to support a cause would be really personal to her, and she would be actually benefiting from the generous donations of this fundraiser. She had mentioned that on one Sunday she felt a small lump on her neck, and a few days later, that lump had taken over the entire left side of her neck. And doctors later confirmed that it was a tumor that was later identified as Hodgkin's lymphoma. She went for her first chemo treatment, and just they had to hit the ground running as she was diagnosed with cancer. And this seemingly distraught story doesn't end here, though. Her family rallied around, her family and her friends rallied around together to support her. They started their own kind of team for the annual walk called, I believe it was Sally's Sammy's Superheroes, and they would walk and continue to do this support and walk alongside her as she went through chemo. An interesting note that, you know, Bouchard is a Gloucester resident, but her family lives expansively to the North Shore, and they actually have an auto repair in Salem called Bouchard Auto Repair. So a story that goes beyond Gloucester. And 5 years later now, you know, I talked to her on the anniversary of her last chemo treatment, and she's now 30, is cancer-free, and is eager to share encouragement and hope for those who are going through cancer treatment. So the North Shore Cancer Walk is happening this year, and you bet your bottom dollar that she will be walking it with her family and friends. It obviously looks a little bit different now, as we still are experiencing the pandemic in different ways and trying to be conscious and careful as the disease is still out there. And so it will be happening a little bit differently this year, and you can find the link on our website and in that article to kind of how you can participate or donate. And the funds will be used to continue providing important services at Mass General, North Shore Cancer Center, including genetic counseling, clinical trials, palliative care, support groups, nutrition and wellness services such as acupuncture, massage, and Reiki. It'll also go towards cold caps, which helps in the prevention of chemotherapy hair loss, and the purchase of a sophisticated scope to provide superior magnification for complex oncology surgeries at Salem Hospital. So it does a lot. And as you know, Bouchard says, you know, she got to experience just how much of a difference people's donations make. And so if you see people walking around, it might be a little bit different than the parade style walk, but it is something that people are, you know, fighting against and supporting and walking along those who are going through it. So fun story, and one that is full of hope in the midst of hard times.
Great story. Great story. Thank you for that. All right. I'm linking to GloucesterTimes.com for all of our listeners who are checking in on Connections. And Taylor Ann, what about Twitter? What's the best way to keep up with the news for people who are looking for Times articles?
That's a great question. So I would say actually our Gloucester Daily Times Facebook page is usually the best.
Facebook, okay.
To kind of get it thing. You can follow me at TayBradford97 at Twitter and GD Times, at GD Times on Twitter as well. I regrettably don't post on my own as much as I probably should as a local reporter, but I know that our newspaper itself does do it rather regularly. So note that should not be all there. For the latest, and you can find our breaking news about Karen Carroll on our website. I just looked now. It is up if you would like more details about that.
And I will make sure that we link to that. That's Taylor Ann Bradford, Gloucester Times journalist with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.